Okay, Genesis 22, stand with me please in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the wood and the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He says that a lot, doesn't he? And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I'll leave off reading there, and I want to preach to you tonight on verse 14, Jehovah Jireh. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless this message. Lord, I know that there are several that do not feel well. I pray that you would help me, God, to be as brief as possible without leaving anything out that would be necessary. God, please fill this place, each one of our hearts, with your Holy Spirit. We pray, bind the devil. Lord, please remove all anything that would distract from your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please have a seat. Thank you for standing. Jehovah Jireh. That Abraham was tempted by God. In verse 1, it's an interesting verse. But make no mistake, this was not a temptation to sin. This was not a God. God cannot be tempted, neither does he tempt any man to sin. Why in the world would God tempt you to sin when as much as he hates sin and he loves you? He would never tempt his children to sin, but he does try our faith. This was a trial. God, the word tempt Abraham means he tried Abraham. He was going to basically take what Abraham loved to find out what Abraham loved. Let me say that again. God was going to use what Abraham loved to find out what Abraham loved the most. You know, a trial is God still does these things today. God still tries our heart, tries our faith. He still puts us in places where we have to decide who is first. It happens all the time. In this case, God was using Abraham's son, his child. God doesn't always use our children, but I promise you, he uses something that we love to try to find out who we love more. Or I could even say it this way, to find out what we love more. You know, if God doesn't use our children, he may use something that we love more than our children. If we don't have children, he obviously has to use something else. But in this case, he used a child of Abraham, his father. But he will use something in your life that you love. And he will say, I want you to give that, give him, give her to me. Most of the time, let me just right off the bat tell you this. Most of the time, God uses money. Money. Because Americans especially love their money. Okay, just sit there and be still as you want to, but I'll say amen. Americans love their money.
Amen.
Yes, we do. Especially in this country. This country has been so blessed by God, so overwhelmingly blessed by God. Financially speaking, we are spoiled rotten as Americans. We have been given everything on a silver platter. We still have to work, but we make... Listen, do you know the average American who is so-called lives in poverty, is 70% of the rest of the world is poorer than the poor American. In other words, our poverty here in America is nothing compared to the rest of the world in light of the amount of money that they can make. And the fact is, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I want you to just think about this with me, though. Many parents sit their children down in front of the television and let them watch for hours and hours and hours whatever they want to watch. They don't monitor what they watch. They don't guard what they watch. But yet, they will fight you tooth and nail for a dollar bill. Do you hear what I said? They're not going to let you. They're not going to lay a dollar bill on the table and let you do whatever. But they'll let Hollywood and Satan do whatever they want to do with their children. But they will fight you to the death for their dollar. It's crazy, isn't it?
Amen.
The fact is, we have a nation of people, but that love many things. We love our pleasure. We love our money. I said that already. We love a lot of things, and what God wants to do in our lives is, first of all, find out who we love the most. There's nothing wrong with loving your husband, loving your wife, loving your children. Obviously, that's okay. But the love of money is the root of all evil. I said the love of money is the root of all evil. All evil. Well, what about that evil? Yeah, that one too. But what about that evil? That one too. The love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible says that in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The Bible also says that when iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. It doesn't say that love turns to hate. It just says that it's not what it used to be. It grows cold. And God wants us to stay hot. God wants us to stay on fire. God wants us to stay in love with Him every day. So there are going to be routinely in your lives trials, things like this here in Abraham's life to help you, remind you, hey, don't fall in love with something else more than me.
Amen.
Abraham loved his son Isaac. The Bible tells us, take now thy son in verse 2, thine only son whom thou lovest. He loved his son. Good thing. I'm glad he loved his son. But listen, this son was no ordinary son, so to speak. No son or daughter is ordinary. But this son was the promised seed that God had promised him years ago. Over 15 years ago, God had said, you're going to have a child with your wife Sarah. But it was years in coming. I mean years. Over 15 years. But finally God in his timing gave him that son when it was right. And then God came to Abraham and said, now I want you to give him back to me. Verse 2 says, take now thine only son whom thou lovest and get thee into the land of Moriah. Notice, and offer him. What do we call this? Offering plate. Offering plate. Why? Because we're laying offerings in here unto God.
Amen.
What goes in here is an offering. This is our offering. It's giving. It's giving God back what He's given us. Abraham, look, in verse 3, rose up early in the morning and got right to it, man. God, this is what you want. Here I go. This was, I don't want to blow through this, but I'm not going to belabor the point here either. This was not a dollar bill. But this could have been anything that you cherish in your life. If God came to you and said, I want you to give me that. I mean, I'm thinking about sports. I'm thinking about, obviously, money, jobs, relationships with other people. There are so many things that God says, I want you to give it back to me. I want you to give it back to me. Now, right off the bat, when God says, give me your son, the one who you love, you know, we think about, wow, what in the world? What kind of harsh, mean, angry, horrendous, terrible, heinous God is that? Abraham didn't say that. Abraham rose up early. Early. And got right to it. He got to the top of the mount, the Bible says. He bound his son on the altar. He reached forth to grab the knife. I mean, he... And God stopped him. Aren't you glad, right? God stopped him. Then God said, Abraham, stop. Wait a minute. He said, now I know, in verse 12, that thou fearest me. He said, now I know that I am first in your life.
Amen.
Now I know that I am first in your life. And then Abraham saw a ram caught in the thicket there in verse 13. He lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram, a male goat, if you will, a ram caught. They have big thorns and his horns caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took that ram and then he offered up the ram instead of Isaac. And then Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Now, let me explain to you what that means. First of all, the word Jehovah, it means self-existent, self-reliant, almighty, living God. Let me say that to you. It literally means that He is self-existent. There's no beginning. There's no ending to this Jehovah. He is self-reliant. There is nothing that He needs. He is almighty, living, holy God. So there's nothing that Jehovah needed. So right off the bat, He named this place Jehovah. He knew God did not need His son. Did you hear what I said? He knew God didn't need His son Isaac. He named this place Jehovah Jireh. Jireh is a Hebrew word which means seize. S-E-E-S. When you put it together, it's a phrase. It translates something like God sees. Or you could also say God sees to it. You could say it's a Hebrew word, so it's not a direct translation, but it really means God sees to supplying my needs. God, Jehovah, the self-existent, self-reliant, almighty, living God, sees every detail in my life, and He sees to it that my needs are met. That's what this means. Jehovah Jireh, God will supply my needs. That's what this means. Abraham knew that God has supplied his needs. Listen, God supplied the ram for Abraham. God put that ram there. Where'd that ram come from? God. Now, I like to think of it, you know, Abraham and Isaac were coming up one side of Mount Moriah. That ram was coming up the other side. He couldn't see it.
Amen.
But it was. Jehovah Jireh. God supplied the dry ground on which the cross, the Red Sea, the children of Israel crossed that Red Sea on that dry riverbed. God supplied that dry ground, amen? God supplied their need, Jehovah Jireh. God supplied the manna in the wilderness. God supplied water from the rock. God supplied the quail from heaven. God supplied a pillar of fire by night. God supplied a pillar of cloud by day. God, Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
God supplied the scarlet thread for Rahab's family. If you remember that story, hanging down off the wall, God supplied their salvation. God, Jehovah Jireh, God supplied the field of Boaz for Ruth to gather those gleanings as she come back with Naomi from Moab into the Bethlehem, Judah, and she went out to glean in the field, and God provided the field of Boaz for Ruth. Jehovah Jireh, God supplied Hannah a baby boy named Samuel. She was barren. She could not have children. She was weeping and saying, God, please, 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 please. And God supplied Samuel to Hannah. By the way, that name means asked of God. Jehovah Jireh. God supplied an anointed stone for David's slingshot, in the field with Goliath. God supplied ravens to feed Elijah and water from the brook for him to drink. God supplied a widow to sustain him in Zarephath. God supplied fire from heaven to lap up the water in the sacrifice on Mount Carmel. Jehovah Jireh. God supplied Nehemiah strength. God supplies Nehemiah's helpers. God supplies protection from Nehemiah's enemies. Jehovah Jireh. God supplied Esther the golden scepter of the king. Remember that story? And God supplied the body of Haman hanging from his own gallows. Jehovah Jireh. God supplies. God supplied Job twice as much as he started with. Jehovah Jireh. God supplied David safety from the crazy king Saul. Jehovah Jireh. God supplied Solomon all the wisdom he needed to rule all of God's people. Millions of them. Jehovah Jireh. God supplied the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Amen. Glory to God. God supplied the strength to put their face like a flint and preach it. Thus saith the Lord. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Jehovah Jireh. God supplied Daniel and his three friends after they ate their beans and their rice, their bread, their staple food, after they would not say, I will not defile myself with the king's meat. He said, listen, you let me eat what my God has given me to eat. And the Bible says their countenance was 10 times better than the rest of those boys. God supplied that countenance. Jehovah Jireh. God supplied a fourth man in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And King Nebuchadnezzar looked down in there and said, I thought, how many men do we throw in that fire? They said, 3. He said, well, how come I see a fourth? And it looks as if the Son of God, Jehovah Jireh. Amen. God supplied. God supplied an angel of the Lord to close the lion's mouth when Daniel was in the lion's den. All night long. With a hungry lion. Don't tell me they weren't hungry, because the very next morning when Daniel got out, all of his enemies went in there and they were devoured instantly. They were hungry lions. But God supplied an angel, Jehovah Jireh. God supplied a whale to teach Jonah a lesson. But listen, it saved him from drowning. It saved him from drowning. It saved him from dying that day at Jehovah Jireh. God supplied a coin in a fish's mouth for those disciples to pay their taxes. Jehovah Jireh, folks, are you listening to me? God supplied enough food to feed 5,000 men, plus their women, plus their children, from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jehovah Jireh. Not only that, there's 12 baskets left over. Amen. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. God supplied sight to the blind. God supplied hearing to the deaf. God supplied cleansing to the leper. God supplied speech to the dumb. That means the person that can't talk. God supplied life to the already dead. Jehovah Jireh. I'm telling you, folks, that we have a God who can supply. Amen. God supplied deliverance from the storm on the raging sea for His disciples more than once. Jehovah Jireh. God supplied an empty tomb 3 days after Calvary. A resurrected Savior. The glory of God forever shone forth. Jehovah Jireh, folks. Just a couple of thoughts here tonight before we go home. Before we go eat. Number one, Abraham's obedience preceded Jehovah Jireh. Listen to me again. Abraham's obedience preceded Jehovah Jireh. Abraham's obedience went first. That's what that means. Listen, true faith, church, listen to me, that pleases God is faith that obeys God. We love, and we should love, and we do. I love a God, knowing that I have a God who supplies my needs. I have a God who is faithful to supply my needs. Jehovah Jireh. But it was Abraham's obedience that came first. How come you're not shouting now? How come you're not shouting now? Because it's not so fun now. That means I've got to obey. That's exactly what that means. You see, God is pleased to supply the needs of His children when they're pleased to trust Him enough to do what He says. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not disobey God by bowing down to that giant statue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, King Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able to deliver us from your furnace of fire, but if not, we are not going to bow down to your idol. And listen, they did what they had to do first, and then they were delivered. Then they were supplied safety in the furnace. Esther trusted God. She prayed and she fasted for 3 days and three nights before she went into that king's room and got the golden scepter of acceptance. Hannah prayed, begged God to give her a child. Hannah said, here's what Hannah said before she ever had Samuel. She said, God, if you'll give me a man child, I will give him back to you all the days of his life. And he did, and she did. And he served God his whole life. Are you talking about Jehovah Jireh? To have a child that served God his whole life? I say God supplied. Jehovah Jireh. God took everything from Job. Everything. His money, his children, his wealth, his income, his everything but his health, everything but his wife, and she was very bitter. And most of, and well, probably all of us would have been. The fact is, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And the Bible says that God gave Job back what he had twice as much. You say, how can it be twice as much? Because when he got to heaven, he had twice as many children. 14, not 7. He had twice as many children. Hey, listen to me. And the Bible says that he gave him back his health and began to give him again children after he began to pray for his friends. After he obeyed God, after he did what God told him to do, his obedience preceded Jehovah Jireh. Faith is not just believing that good things are going to happen. That's not faith. Faith is saying, God, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And then you say, okay, well, I'm going to do what you want from me, God. I'm going to obey your word by faith. And then I know my God shall supply all your needs in glory by his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That verse, that promise is given in Philippians chapter 4 to a church who is giving to missions. Giving money to help support missionaries. Then the promise comes at the end of the chapter. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. They had to do their part first. Folks, don't lose me. I'm trying to help you tonight. Don't drift away on me because I'm talking about obedience. Don't look at your watches because I'm talking about obedience. You're never going to have a shouting life. You're going to end up a wreck just like anybody else. If you don't understand, yes, God supplies. Yes, God is great. But Abraham didn't do what he wanted to do. He did what God said. Amen. Not only did Abraham's obedience precede Jehovah Jireh, number two, giving God what He asked from us is what real worship is all about. Let me say that again. Giving God what He asked from us is what real worship is all about. You know, God does not accept whatever we want to give Him. He accepts what He asks from us in the way that He wants it. Look in verse 5 in our text. Genesis 22, verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder," and what? "Worship." Now, wait a minute. He's going to kill his son. No, he's not. He's going to give God what God said to give him. See, you and I have to learn to separate our feelings from our faith. Oh boy, I wish I could get you guys to listen to me tonight. His feelings could not control what he was doing. This was his son. You see, when God says, "Give me thy son, give me the tithe, the 10% of your, give me the offerings, give me your time, be faithful to my house." I mean, when God says, "Give me your time, your talents, your treasures, give me what I've given to you, now give it back to me, use it for my glory." When God says that and we do it, we're worshiping God. Amen. We're worshiping God. We do not choose how we get to worship God. "Well, I just like the way they do it over here in this church. They just seem to have more, their music is more lively. Their this is different." But what does God say about worship? Worship is not you and me feeling good. Worship is you and me giving to God what He desires from our lives. That's worship. That's what worship is. God is not honored with our lip service. God is not honored with our false... And the Bible says that when we give God our lip service and we don't do anything with our heart is far from Him, the Bible calls that person a hypocrite. It would be no different than me telling you, "Oh, I love you," but yet as soon as you're gone, I'm going to tell everybody how much your breath stinks. I'm going to tell everybody about how much you stink, about how dumb you are, about hideous you are, how much I wish you were. And then when you show up, I say, "Oh, hi, Dalen. It's so good to see you." Now, what would you call that person? A stinking, rotten hypocrite. And you know what the world says about Baptists? They're a bunch of hypocrites. The definition of the term is saying one thing and doing another. Mm-hmm. And every one of us knows some Christian like that. Mm-hmm. See, that's... You know what Abraham was doing? Exactly what God told him to do. And you know what he called it? Worship. And you say, "He's going to kill his son. How can that be worship?" You're missing the point. He's doing what God said to do. He's doing it the way God said to do it. And then that's what gives God glory. That's worship. Church is supposed to be held a certain way. The Bible is supposed to be held in a certain honor. The Word of God, the power of God, the house of God, the money, everything is supposed to be done according to God's way, God's direction. And then when we decide to do things our way, and we say, "Well, I'm just going to worship God," you're a hypocrite. We're hypocrites. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want a church of hypocrites. Nobody does it. But the thing is, you're going to have to learn tonight. That's what I'm trying to teach you. Jehovah Jireh. Don't forget what I'm talking about here, okay? God will supply, but He's not going to supply when we do things our way. He's looking for us to worship Him according to how He wants it done. When we give Him what He asks from us, we're worshiping Him. I talk to a lot of people, house to house, knocking doors, handing out tracts. I talk to a lot of people. And it never fails. At least once a week, you find somebody who says, they're a Christian. They're a Christian. They use that word. They use the name of Christ, Christian. And yet, their front porch is covered with beer cans and cigarettes, and their house is an absolute mess, disaster. And see, God says that is sin. Hello, say amen right there, or don't say amen. I'm going to preach the Bible. God says that filthiness is sin. God says that we are to be clean and live holy and pure lives. That includes cleaning our house, cleaning our clothes, cleaning our bodies, cleaning our children. That includes pure, clean. And we're using the name of Christ, but we're living and wallowing around in filth. And that's not worship. That's a disgrace. That's a hypocrite. Amen, preacher. I said, remember what I said about the prophets? That they had, God gave them the strength to set their face like a flint and say, thus saith the Lord. They slapped them, they laughed at them, they threw them in prison, they killed them. Well, praise God for men that will say, thus saith the Lord, whether the world likes it or not. Because that's what worship is, sweetheart. That's what worship is, young man. It's giving God what He wants. It's giving God what He wants. Amen. It's giving God what He wants. His way. His way. You see, a trial is going to come. And he's going to find out whether or not you really love God. And if you do, you'll worship Him His way. May I remind you that in that same verse, he said, you stay here. I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship. Listen to me. There wasn't a big crowd around him going, oh, way to go, Abraham. They were looking at each other thinking, first of all, they didn't even know what he was doing. He didn't tell him to kill his son. And by the way, that's what he thought he was doing. That's what he thought he was doing. But let me retract that. What he thought he was doing was obeying God. Period. His feelings were not involved. He was not concerned about who was applauding him. He was not even concerned about who knew. He didn't tell anybody that we know. He said, I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship. I'm going to give God what He asks from me the way He wants it. Because I want Jehovah Jireh in my life. Number three. This was great faith. Would you agree with that? Great faith. Number three. Abraham's faith was transferred to his son. Look in verse 7. Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and he said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Now notice the next verse. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. And laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, wait a minute. Isaac was not Seth's age. Isaac was at least 17. He was a big boy. He was able to get out of his father's control and get away. Listen to me. But he stood there voluntarily and said, bound means tied. He tied his own son up and laid him up on the altar on top of the wood. Now wait a minute, this is the same boy who just said, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And his dad said, don't worry, son, God will provide. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. So you know what his son did? okay, Daddy, I'm trusting that you are. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
You see, Abraham's amazing, incredible faith was passed down to his son. You can see it right here. His son was not a baby. He could have gotten away. But he knew his daddy was trusting God. And because of that, he trusted his daddy and trusted God. What I'm trying to say with this thought is, listen, whatever degree of faith we have is the degree of faith our children are going to have. Whatever degree of faith we have is what we're going to pass down to the next generation. I want my children to trust God. I want you to trust God. But in order for that to happen, I am going to have to really trust God. You want somebody else to grow in their faith and their walk with you, with God, as a result of your life. You want somebody else to who's, by the way, somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. At work, at home, at play, somebody's watching you. And your faith will be directly reflected on them, and yet they may not be completely on board with it, but what I'm saying to you is those people who are watching you, especially if you have children or grandchildren, those children especially, they need to see you trust God. Isaac had an amazing amount of faith. We talk about Abraham's faith, but we forget about his. But the reason his was like that is because his dad's was like that. God, help us to be an example of faith to those around us. Next, I want you to notice in verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said in verse 12, lay not thine hand. He said, stop. Now wait, think about this. God supplied, but listen, God supplied the need at the last second. Let me say that again. God supplied the need at the last second. Faith in God is also faith in God's timing. Timing. God didn't want to tell Abraham that morning. God didn't tell Abraham on the way up the mountain. God didn't tell Abraham to stop the night before. God didn't see. Well, Abraham got out of bed, put his shoes and socks on, saddled up his donkeys, got his servants and said, okay, boy, get out of bed. We're going to take the some wood and we're going to go offer. And God didn't tell him as they were traveling. God didn't tell him up the mountain. God didn't tell him as he was binding up his own son. God didn't tell him as he laid the wood. God didn't even tell him. He said, wait, okay, that's okay. There. That's far enough. God waited to the last second. Stop! Okay. The significance of this is very, very huge when you think about it. So many people miss out on Jehovah Jireh because they quit too soon. They quit too soon. Abraham said, son, don't worry. God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide. God will provide. But he didn't know how. He didn't know what. And he didn't know when. And neither do you. Neither do I. Somehow, Jehovah Jireh. Some way, Jehovah Jireh. Sooner or later, Jehovah Jireh. But I don't know when.
Amen.
I don't know how. but I know Jehovah Jireh. I mean, can you? I know Abraham was had great faith, but he was still a man like you and me. He was still a human being. Can you imagine the sweat that must have been pouring down his face? I just have to believe that he was. I just don't believe he was in total peace, man. Crying, a nervous wreck. I don't know. We just don't know. I just know how I'd be. I just know how I have been when God says, I want you to give that money to me. That's how you get when God says, you know what, that's mine. You say, but I got to pay bills, but I got to do it. And God says, that's mine. I want you to give me what's mine. And we have every bit of the same emotion. All the sweat, the tears, the nerves, the stress. No, I can't. There's no way, God. Okay, well, you're going to see Jehovah Jireh. Amen. You're not going to see Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
Some of you just, I'm afraid that there's some Christians who just never see Jehovah Jireh. Well, that's. I'm sorry. That's sad, but that's your loss. But the fact is, God is a God that will and does supply His people's needs. But sometimes, listen to me, it takes all the way to the last minute. Because God wants to see, do you really trust me? Do you really trust me? God supplied the need. Jehovah Jireh. Glory to God. And we can shout looking back. But Abraham wasn't looking back. Abraham was looking at his son. Next thought. Where, listen, don't miss this. Where God guides, God provides. Look in verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Well, what a coincidence. Right behind him in a thicket, there was a ram caught. Wow, what a coincidence. No. Listen to me. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is there was no other ram caught in any other thicket on any other mountain that morning. Only there. Why? Because that's where God told him to go. That's where God told him to go. The Bible says in verse 4, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. Abraham took the wood and they went up together. What I'm telling you is that God had told him where to go. He said, I will tell thee of it in verse 2. In verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, clave the wood, rose up and went, notice, unto the place of which God had told him. He went where God told him to go. Listen to me. Pay attention, please, tonight. He went where God told him to go. He didn't go wherever he felt like going. In other words, he was right in the middle of God's will and Jehovah Jireh. God supplied the need, but it was where God had put him. If he would have been a day late, where's the ram? If he would have been one mountain over, where's the ram? If he would have been in a different church, where's the ram? If he would have been in another town, where's the ram? If he would have been on another day, where's the ram? Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? God has a will for our lives. And God guides us and leads us in that will for a reason. Because in that place where He puts you, there is where He supplies. There is where He provides. Oh, how many times have God's people laid out of church? I'm not talking about being sick. I understand, but how many times have God's people laid out of church when right here in this preaching there was something that they desperately needed? But it was here. It wasn't on their living room couch.
Amen.
How many times have God's people said, I don't think I want this kind of church. I feel better over here in this church and over there in that church. They're dead. They're dying. Because God said, I will supply, but I'm going to do it where I lead you and only there. God is not mocked. If God said, this is where I want you to go, then there is where He's going to supply your needs. But there's not a lot of people here. But there's not a lot of fun here. But there's not a lot, and that is all that the world says. And God says, fine, go your way. But here is where the ram is. Not there. And yes, guess what's happening? Their children are dying. Because instead of God giving them a ram, the world's taking their children. The world's taking their money. The world's taking their marriage. The world's taking everything because God says, I'm over here. This is where I told you to be. Stay right here. I'm not providing over there. I'm providing right here. God guides and He provides, but only where He guides. Are you listening to me? I want to go, I want to see, I want to do. What does God say about it? But if I could only, I want to test the waters, I want to see, I want to expand my horizons. What does God say about it? God supplies where He guides. And only where He guides. Now, you must stay in God's will. That's what I'm trying to say. At all cost. Again, it was nobody there but Him and His Son. It was a time of incredible trials of His faith. It was a time of incredible stress and pressure and unbelievable doubts. And I don't know about doubts, but no doubt thoughts crossed through His mind. What's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? What's going to happen next? And there's all kinds of pressure and stress. But He said, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but this is where God told me to be, and this is where I'm going to stay. Amen. Come hell, come high water, come a ram, come no ram, I'm going to stay in God's will because that's where God's going to provide for me. Amen. Listen to me, Christian. Oh, please listen to God. You have got to do what you know God has led you to do, but you have got to do it where God leads you. There are Christians tithing and Christians soul winning and Christians giving missions and Christians surrendering to preach and Christians all over the world. But listen, it was God's will that Ethan Martinez surrender here. It was God's will that Samuel Falk surrender here. Are you listening to me? It was God's will that Amazing Grace Baptist Church rise up in this city in 2011. It was God's will that we still be here today. Amen. Whether they like it or not. Quite frankly, whether I like it or not. It's not about my feelings. It's about this is God's will. This is where He's going to provide. In His place. In His will. Listen to me, Christian. Every church is not your home church. You do not need to go to any other church. Amen. That is not your church. God is going to provide for you here. This is where God has put you. Amen. Television church at home on the that is not your church.
Amen.
I hear that so often. I want to vomit when I hear that. Well, I watch it on TV. My soul, that has never been God's will. Never will be. Girls, listen to me. Ladies, those of you who aren't married, every man is not your future husband. Let me say it one more time. Every man is not your future husband. There is one that God has provided for you. And in that will of God, God will provide for your love and your wonderful relationship that you so desire. It's not going to be every man that comes along that smiles at you. There's no ram in that. Boys are laughing, but I'm hitting you next. Every girl that comes along is not God's place, not God's ram for you. Yeah. Every girl that blinks and has beautiful, perfect makeup in her eyes or so, or the hair, it's not God's will. There's one that God has for you. One. One. Amen. You thought I was going to forget about you, didn't I? Hey, can I tell you something? Every open door is not necessarily from God. Do you know Satan can open doors too? As a matter of fact, he thrives in opening doors for you and getting you to walk through there. I mean, that's what he did in the Garden of Eden. He said, there's an open door here. By the way, God's not going to stop you. The door's wide open. Go ahead and eat the fruit. That was an open door, wasn't it? That's what everybody said. Well, there's an open door. There's an open door. What does God say about it? Amen. Well, there's an open door. Well, who opened it? But this is the easy way. That's all that means. This is the easy way. But that doesn't mean it's God. Dear God, I don't have time to preach all this. Listen to me tonight. An open door does not prove it's God's will. God's word and God's prayer and Holy Spirit will tell you this God's will. No, I better stay away from this. There's all kinds of open doors. Satan was tempting Jesus. He said, you see all of these kingdoms? I'll give you all of these kingdoms of all of these worlds. And then he said something. He said, because they're given to me to give to who I will. That's what he said. He said, you know, I can give you power. I can give you pleasure. I can give you entertainment. I can give you that boy, that girl. I can give you that love of your life for about 6 hours until the truth comes out. And the door's wide open. Oh, he's there. There he is. Look. There she is. Look. And Satan says, look, take it all. It's all yours. It's free. Take it. The door's wide open. But, by the way, if you do that, you can bow down to me. Oh, by the way, there's one catch. You bow down to me, and you can have all that. Oh, well, you mean I get what I want? No, all I got to do is bow down to, oh, who cares? I mean, I get what I want. It's an open door, and you just walk right through that, and like a blind calf, like an oxen going straight to the slaughter. Every time you, listen to me, every time you have a desire to buy something, but you can't because you have to spend your tithe on it. But I have the money. Well, wait a minute, you haven't tithed yet. But I have the money, but I need the money. But you haven't tithed yet. Amen. But the door's open, it's there, I can afford it, but you haven't tithed yet. Amen. You see what I mean? And you just do it your way. You just spend your money wherever you want to and say, well, God understands. No, He doesn't. He never is going to understand disobedience, rebellion. He knows we're sinners, but He's not just going to say, oh, that's okay. I'll bless you anyway. No, He's not. He said, this is where I told you to put your money. This is where I told you to give your sacrifice. This is where I told you to put your offering. This is what I told you to do with it. Now do it here, and then I will provide. Amen. But you say, well, you know, oh, but that dress, it just, oh, but that, you're spending God's money where God says not to spend it, and you're wondering, why ain't I making it? Amen. That's why, because God provides where He guides. You know, the walls of Jericho fell when the children of Israel walked around them. No other walls ever fell like that. That was God's will. God put them there to do it that way, right there around Jericho. The priests had to put their feet in the Jordan River before they ever crossed the Jordan to go over into Canaan. They had to put their feet in the shores in the water of the Jordan River. They had to go do exactly what God told them to do, exactly where God told them to do, and then God parted the water. They had to get their feet wet. God told them to do it. Ruth had to stay in Boaz's field. Ruth had to stay in that field. That and only there was where God provided those gleanings. There was other fields. There were other boys. Elijah had to go to the brook Cherith so that the ravens were going to feed him there. Then he is told to go to Zarephath, where that widow was going to sustain him there. Are you listening to me? God does provide, but only where He guides. You don't have the options to decide where you're going to go. God said, I want you to go here. I want you to do this here. And then I will provide the ram. Are you still with me tonight? Finally, I close with this, and that's what you were looking for, I know. God, lastly, supplies much more. Listen now. Much more than we can ever give Him. Amen. Look in verse 15. Look in verse 15. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing. What did he do? He gave God exactly what God said, where God said to do it. He worshiped God. He, in great faith, he said, you have done exactly what I had told you to do, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Did you hear the promises that God made to him? In other words, God said, Abraham, just because you did this, right here where I told you to do, exactly what I told you to do, I am going to bless you for the rest of your life. I'm going to bless your next generation. I'm going to bless every generation to follow. Are you kidding me? All because he didn't even do anything. He didn't even kill his son. But he did exactly what God told him to do. And then God not only provided him a ram, whoop-de-doo, a ram, what am I going to do with a ram? He said, you know what? Because you did what I told you to do, I'm going to give you blessings the rest of your lives. No, notice. He said, your seed, in verse 17 at the end, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. In other words, God told Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and all of your seed, all the way down to Jesus, all the way down to every Jew that's still alive today, they have been country after country after country who have tried to take over Israel, who have tried to conquer that little bitty nation over there on the Mediterranean Sea, and there has not been one that has had any success because of this promise. Amen. Amen. Study. Look into what's happening in our world. Look at what's going on in Israel, Iran, Iraq, Syria. Palestine. They hate Israel. They want to wipe it off the map, but they cannot touch it because of that promise right there. Because Abraham did what God told him to do. It wasn't just a ram. It was generations up till today of God's victory, God's blessings, God's promises, God's provisions, Jehovah Jireh still today. Amen. One ram, oh no, that wasn't just, that was barely the beginning. I'll bless you. I'll bless your seed. I'll give your children victory over Satan. I'll give your grandchildren. I'll give every generation. I will do what I promised to do because you obeyed my voice. God will take what we give Him when we do it His way, and He gives us back 12 baskets full. But when we decide to do it our way, guess what we get? Nothing. Oh, but I got my 5 loaves and my 2 fishes. Yeah, you're going to eat that, and then you're going to be hungry in about 2 hours. Oh, but I've got my fun. But I've got my man. Y'all laugh because I'm telling you what, that kind of junk is destroying people. Going after the wrong person that is not the one for you. Oh, but I've got it. He loves me. Would you stop? He's taking you out of church. He's getting you. You're rebelling against God. You're disobeying your parents. You're disobeying God. But He loves me. Are you serious? What are you going to get? Well, I'm going to get love. And then you're going to get dumped. And you're going to get brokenhearted. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have tears. For the rest of your life, scars that will not be wiped away. All because you would not do it God's way, where God said to do it, how God said to do it. And then He says, I'm not just going to give you a husband. I'm going to give you one that actually loves you and loves God and will be faithful to you for the rest of your life. You'll have godly children, godly grandchildren, godly great-grandchildren. They'll serve God. I'll bless you. Well, what about that? I think that's a promise. I would rather have that any day. Jehovah Jireh, if we obey, if we wait, if we do it where God says, when God says, and how God says, He doesn't just give us a ram. He blesses us and our generations forever. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. My mom and dad, you met them. By the way, they're coming back in May to preach the missions conference for us. Well, he's preaching, not... Let me make that clear. But here's what I'm going to say. They served God faithfully for 22 years overseas. I remember so many times. I was part of that for about 9 years until I was... growed up. They served God faithfully in that country of Paraguay, and they just kept on laboring. They just kept on laboring. They just kept on laboring through thick, through thin, through hot, through cold. Not a whole lot of cold there, kind of like Texas, but through heartaches, through sorrows, through tears. They just kept laboring and toiling. And laboring and toiling. Because, listen, because God told them to. I'm standing here today because God blessed their obedience. I'm standing here today because God blessed their obedience. Now when they lay their head on the pillow at night, they know. Their churches never got huge. Their churches never had thousands of people in them. Some of them aren't even there anymore. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about that. It was about doing what God said. It was about doing what God said. And now they can lay their head on the pillow at night and go to sleep saying, praise God, my son's preaching the gospel. Praise God, my grandson is surrendered to preach the gospel. Folks, that's what I'm talking about. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Abraham obeyed God. Abraham worshiped God by doing it his way. Abraham's faith was so great. His son was also a very faithful man. God supplied the need at the very last minute. But where God guides, God provides, and only there. And not only did he supply, not only did Jehovah Jireh, but he gyroed, and he's still gyreing, still supplying. Israel is still undefeated. All because God told a man to do something that most of us would have ran from. Trust God. Trust God. Jehovah Jireh. Father in heaven, I pray that you would bless your word tonight. I pray, God, you would take these simple thoughts and put them in our hearts. Every one of us, God. That we would stay in your will. Stay surrendered to do whatever it is that you want us to do, the way you want us to do it, how and when and where. Father, my heart breaks. So many that quit right before the blessing. But God, I thank you for those that are still here, those that are hanging on. I pray you'd help us all to be more obedient, God, more obedient, more faithful, that this message, that we would hang on to these words, Jehovah, the all-sufficient, self-existent. Father, you do not need our money. You do not need our faith. You do not need us at all. You're completely self-reliant, self-existent. You were here long before we ever were. You'll be here forever. There is no end, no beginning. Father, you have chosen to supply our needs as we trust you and obey. Lord, thank you that you are a Jehovah God that supplies our needs. Bless this invitation.